flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, 4:04 on this Friday morning. We made it through the week. Well, I have. You still might have your whole day ahead of you. Ha 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 ha. Just like the beginning of that promo that no one can understand. Ha 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 ha. That's right. I got 1 hour left before I hit the weekend. How about you? Well, it's time to wake up at the very least. Get up. Make that coffee. I don't know if you've tried the mushroom coffee. One of my buddies is raving about it. I like regular coffee. Although now I'm fearful that the prices are going to rise because never mind. Who cares about all that? We got a lot going on. We started with Pete. We'll get back into the Pete conversation. Boomer Esiason tweeted, it could be today. Feels like a Met kind of day on this football-less Friday before we get to the Super Bowl next week, which obviously we'll spend a whole lot of time on next week talking about the game between the Chiefs and Eagles and how much I hate it.
Wouldn't it be perfect if the biggest news of the last month and a half broke on a Friday afternoon?
Yeah, of course. That would be perfect. It'd be great. So I can get to it Monday at 2 a.m. Perfect! But we just started talking about the Giants a little bit because it's becoming this very much matter-of-fact thing. Giants, Shedeur Sanders, somehow, some way, hopefully just with the third pick, maybe having to trade up. I still think that's what they should do. I just played you the clip before of Shedeur Sanders at the Shrine Bowl talking about playing here against the Cowboys, as that's where the game is being played in Jerry's world, clearly making it sound like it's going to be a team in the NFC East, which would clearly only be the Giants. He had the shoes made a while back. He was playing catch with Malik Nabers. Joe Shane's on record talking about how he checks all the boxes. There's video after video of them dapping up Shedeur Sanders. It feels like Shedeur Sanders is going to be the next quarterback of the New York Giants. And for me, that is exactly what they should do if they believe he's the guy. If they believe he does check all the boxes, that's exactly what I want to do as a New York Giant fan, because they need to change this franchise, and there's one position that can do it. That's it. Don't give me all the other, oh, you know, we'll get a generational shutdown corner. Doesn't change the franchise. We'll get that edge rusher, that pass rusher in Carter, Abdul Carter. That would be nice. Don't get me wrong. They could use it. They just got Brian Burns. Had a great year. Doesn't change the franchise. Andrew Thomas doesn't change the franchise. Saquon Barkley doesn't change the franchise. Malik Nabers doesn't change the franchise. Dexter Lawrence doesn't change the franchise. Now, neither did Daniel Jones, but if you get it right, it does. And we'll see what they're going to have to do, but it could make it a little more hard. It could make it a little more difficult if they are telegraphing it to this level that they want Shedeur Sanders, but get used to it. And New York Giants, Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, figure out a way to get him, figure out a way to coach him up, figure out a way to make us believe this is the right pick, and keep your jobs and turn this damn thing around. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls real quick. We'll take in Giants phone calls right now. Again, we'll get back into the Pete conversation. There's one more Yankee thing I didn't get to. We got still an hour to do. We got plenty of time. We'll get to it next. Let's get to Sal and Wayne, though, right now on the Fan. Sal, what's up?
Hey, C-Max. Thanks for taking the call. Big fan of the show. First question is, do you happen to know about any of the quarterbacks in the next year's draft?
Well, I know it's a perceived more lucrative, for lack of a better term, lucrative kind of works, draft in as far as quarterbacks go, richer draft. Obviously, Manning could come out. I mean, there's no guarantee Manning would come out, nor do we know what kind of quarterback Manning's going to be. I mean, everyone's so quick to just say Manning. He hasn't really played, but yes, it's It's a perceived to be deeper draft next year for quarterbacks.
Yeah. I mean, I'm asking because the draft, from what everybody's saying, the two quarterbacks coming out this year are not exactly what the Giants are going to help the Giants turn everything around. And with their schedule that they have this year, the teams that they got to play, you're looking at another 2 or 3 win season. And if you put a rookie quarterback in with that, I mean, he's going to take a beating all year.
Right.
And I just,
He might lose some games. Peyton Manning lost a ton of games his rookie year. I mean, Troy Aikman lost a ton of games his rookie year. Like, it just because he loses games doesn't mean he can't still be successful or show you promise. Like, I'm just, Eli Manning lost every game but one his rookie year. Like, I understand what you're saying. The schedule is going to be tough. I get it. But now, They just kept Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. So now you want them to go into the year, win 2 or 3 games again, and then why bother keeping them? Like, the decisions doesn't make sense. If you were looking forward to next year's quarterback draft and looking forward to 2 or 3 wins with an owner who literally told you there is no chance of tanking in this franchise, like, I can't do it. You can't play the game that way. I can't wait for the 2 or 3 win season next year and draft a quarterback. And I'll tell you this. How about this for your question, Sal? If they draft Shedeur Sanders and it is an absolute disaster and he is terrible and there seems to be no redeeming quality and he shows nothing that would make you think he's a quarterback moving forward like Josh Rosen with the Cardinals a couple of years ago, and they win 2 games and have the top pick, you know what? Run it back and draft another quarterback. I don't care. Keep drafting them till you get it right.
Right. I just figured that probably knowing the team that they're playing next year, I think Shane and Daboll are, you know, dead men walking.
Well, then, but I can't go into that.
There's no way you're
getting
a good year next year.
No, but you can have a quarterback who shows promise. If Shedeur Sanders only wins 3 or 4 games but plays well again or shows promise at the end of the year, you bring in a veteran quarterback, you play him for the first 6, 7, 8 games, you bring in Shedeur Sanders and he plays like Michael Penix, and Michael Penix still lost football games. He was able to beat the lousy Giants. He lost to the Carolina Panthers at the end of the year. But he showed promise. That's it. If Shedeur Sanders comes in, plays seven games, and makes me think he could be a quarterback, I'm keeping Shannon Dable no matter how many games they win. And then I'll be at the top of the draft and draft a defensive player, or I'll trade the pick, or I'll do something then. But I need the quarterback. And I'll draft him here, and if Shedeur Sanders sucks, and I'm firing Brian Dable and Joe Shane, I'm bringing in another regime, and they don't like Shedeur Sanders, and they have a top pick, I'll draft the quarterback again. Because guess what? All that matters is finding the quarterback, and until you do, I don't care about anything else. I'm not playing a game where I know we're going to lose next year. Because you know what? While I agree with you, the schedule is impossible next year. And you got Kansas City coming in. And you got Green Bay coming in. And you got Minnesota coming in. And it's a very difficult schedule. You know what? I don't know who the quarterback is going to be for Minnesota next year. And I can't tell you the Giants can't beat that team. And Love hasn't shown a propensity of staying healthy. I don't know who's going to be the quarterback of Green Bay. And you know what? Tommy DeVito beat them last year. The idea that the Giants are destined to only win two games, so let's wait. And then what happens? What if because they're forced to win on some level, Joe Shane and Brian Dable bring in a veteran quarterback, and Joe Shane and Brian Dable actually get something out of them, and they win seven games and shock the world, and now they're in no position to draft a quarterback? I'm not playing the game. I wish they would have lost last year and got the better quarterback. They lost this year and are in a position to draft a quarterback. And I don't care what Todd McShay or anybody else tells me. And Todd McShay, I saw tweets from him talking about that he thinks he's a pure passer, Shedeur Sanders, and that he's accurate and can be successful in the league. Yes, the grade isn't the same as Daniels, or the grade isn't the same as Williams, or the grade isn't the same as Trevor Lawrence or Andrew Luck or anybody else like that. I get it. But we have seen, what was the grade on Russell Wilson? What was the grade on Tom Brady? Everybody wants to tell me you could find quarterbacks later in the draft. Everyone won't shut their mouth about where you can find quarterbacks later in the draft, and you don't have to pick one at the top of the draft. And while that's fair, in one breath you tell me, hey, you don't have to be a top-graded quarterback to be successful in the NFL. And then at the same breath, you say, oh, well, Shedeur Sanders can't be successful because he hasn't been given a top grade. You know what? I don't care. If you can tell me you can find them later in the draft, that means you don't need a top grade to be a great quarterback in this league. And I'll take my chances if Joe Shane and Brian Dable love them. That's all I care about. They're here. If they weren't here, I wouldn't care what they think. They're here. Brian Dable was brought here specifically for this. I'll take what he thinks. And if he thinks Shedeur Sanders is the guy, that's absolutely what they should do. If he thinks Jackson Dart is the best quarterback in this draft, don't mess around. Draft him third. I'm not kidding. If he thinks Milroe is the best quarterback in the draft, draft him third. We have to find a quarterback. I'm not playing the game of, oh, you could find them later. And I know that was the same thought process of Dave Gettleman with Daniel Jones. Everybody said, oh, you could draft him at 15. Why didn't you take Josh Allen, the edge rusher, and then take Daniel Jones at 15 when Dexter Lawrence went? Which, by the way, is the better player of the three names I just mentioned. But they didn't want to do that. He was in full-bloom love. He took the quarterback. Now, he was just wrong, but I agree with his premise. I'm not messing around. And if it fails, I'll do what the Cardinals did and draft another quarterback. I'll bring in a new coach with a new idea and a quarterback he loves, and I'll draft him. And I'll trade Shedeur Sanders, or I'll have a backup. I don't care. Quarterback, 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 quarterback. And until you find one and you don't have one, that's mission number one. So, but I love that. Oh, they're not graded as one of the top quarterbacks. Okay. So move back, you know, and then you'll tell me, oh, you can find quarterbacks later. Russell Wilson was in the fourth round. Tom Brady, obviously, famously in the seventh round. Okay. Well, then what you're telling me is you could still not have a top grade and be a great quarterback. So now it just comes down to evaluation. And I'm trusting Brian Dable. Why? Because I have to. Phil in Howell, New Jersey. What's up, Phil?
Hey, what's up, buddy? Listen, I've been listening to you, and what you're saying is perfect sense about the quarterbacks, okay?
Okay.
But you have to understand that, you know, Brian Dable and the GM, They are on the edge of the hot seat, okay?
Right.
And they know that, all right? So, yeah, it's a different perspective now, okay? This is not about – this year's draft is not about the team. This year's draft is about them, all right? Because they want to keep their jobs, and they're in dire straits, okay? But just hear me out, all right?
Yeah.
What I would do, I would take Abdul Carter at number three, all right? And then they have the 34th pick in the second round, okay? And I think Jackson Dart will still be there, okay? So they get the edge rusher,
again,
and they get the quarterback.
I just told you. I'm not. How do you know he's going to be there? You think. He's already been talked up about how well he's throwing the football in these practices and stuff. Like, he's going to move up the draft board. I have no idea if he's going to be there. It's easy to say.
But nobody has no idea.
No, I know, but that's exactly right. So I can't just say, oh, I'll do this and then I'll get him later. Like, you can't say that. You have no idea. Nobody thought the Falcons were going to draft Michael Penix. People might have thought that you could have got Michael Penix later. Or
I don't have any idea. You're right. I don't, but that's, I mean, in my mind, that's what I would do. All right? I would take that risk. All right?
Yeah, I understand, but I disagree with you. And as far as the draft being about them and not the team, the one thing I'll say is the rookie quarterback doesn't guarantee you the victories, right? It's the best thing for the franchise. Like, if they were going strictly on wins, because this owner hasn't shown that, again, I'm not in the room with him, but I've heard him speak, and I know how he thinks. He's been the owner for a long time. This owner isn't about show me progress from the quarterback. Like, as much as I think he eventually will come to his senses if he gets that, this owner wants to win right now. And rookie quarterbacks don't guarantee the winning right away. I think they're the best chance to transform your franchise, even in the short term, but specifically in the long term. Rookie quarterbacks come in and lose too. Let's be honest. Most of the time, that's what happens. Even if they show progress, they lose. I mentioned Peyton Manning. I mentioned Troy Aikman. Rare is the quarterback that steps into a situation like the New York Giants, and that's what makes Jaden Daniels so special. So if you're going to tell me that these guys feel like they're on the hot seat, yeah, the best way to save their job in some ways is to develop a young quarterback, but it's also about winning. And you can make a case drafting, getting a veteran quarterback who can come in and they know can play, bringing in from Sam Darnold to Aaron Rodgers and whoever in between, drafting the generational shutdown corner in Hunter and bringing in a veteran quarterback gives them as good a chance to keep their jobs as any, because it might help them win some football games. But here's the bottom line. I can't, and I don't think you should, as much as it makes sense that these guys want to keep their jobs. I get it, right? I get it. That conversation's over. Joe Shane has said he won't make any Hail Marys. He won't do anything in self-preservation. It's about what's best for the New York Giants. I'm going to take him at his word. Again, why? Because I have to. And we could talk till we're blue in face about what they should do. They're going to do what they are going to do. And if they believe in the quarterback, they should take him. Because sometimes the best interest of the GM and the head coach align with the best interest of the franchise. And I am a firm believer, if a franchise doesn't have a quarterback, you have to find one. Plain and simple. And again, that idea of, oh, I'll get Jackson Dart in the second round, no problem. One, I don't know if they like Jackson Dart as much as they like Shedeur Sanders, because everyone's going to tell me the grade that Shedeur Sanders has. Well, Jackson Dart doesn't have a very good grade either. Right now, the things that have been written, as far as, grading as soon as the season ended, was I was seeing third and fourth round grade. But now you're talking about taking him in the first pick of the second round. So you're looking to overshoot for a quarterback as much as I'm looking to overshoot for a quarterback. But it won't be overshooting by the time the draft comes. I promise you. He's going to move up the draft. He's going to be quarterback three. Quarterback three is going in the first round. We've seen it time and time again. If that's your plan and it works out, I'll be happy. I'm telling you right now, I will be happy. Giants take Hunter or Abdul Carter at three, find a way to either trade back into the first round or just with their second round pick, take Jackson Dart, and everybody tells me that's the guy and he's going to be the guy. Great. I love it. I'll be thrilled. I'll be right there with you. I'll be like, wow, great. We got a great defensive player. We got either a shutdown corner or we got someone who gets after the quarterback. And we've got our quarterback of the future. Unbelievable. I will sit here and scream to you how thrilled I am with what the Giants did in the draft. But I can't guarantee that happening. And I would rather have the quarterback they want than the defensive player and then, who knows, an offensive lineman in the second round and not getting that quarterback. I can't risk not getting the quarterback. Because I've seen them draft running back in the second round. Not only have I seen them draft, I've seen them draft offensive linemen in the second round. Not only have I seen them draft linemen in the first round, in the top 10, in the second round. I mean, do you remember how long we went on and on and on about what a great pick Will Hernandez was at the top of the second round? Do you remember that? Now, he's actually gone on to be a pretty good player, but not for the Giants. But do you remember? Oh, this guy's a bully. Hog Molly. What a great pick to get Will Hernandez at the second pick of the second round or whatever it was. Oh, Will Hernandez, what a great pick. Oh, Will Hernandez, he's starting fights day one of camp. Oh, that's the kind of lineman I like. Start some fights. What are you fighting over the fruit cocktail? I love it. I love it. The guy was a bust. Flowers, a bust. Evan Neal, a bust. And hasn't that hurt them as much as a possible quarterback bust? Oh, you take a quarterback and you're wrong on the quarterback, set you back 10 years. Set you back a generation. They'll be playing in Europe by the time the Giants are good. You draft a quarterback and you're wrong. I'm sorry. Has drafting Evan Neal not hurt the New York Giants? I don't care what player you take. I don't care what position you take. If the Giants get a player at three who isn't good, it sets you back. But what happens if you're right? Because I promise you, if they're right on a shutdown corner, it helps. If they're right on the quarterback, it changes the franchise. It's about the juice and the squeeze. 888-808-1019. Vic in Islip. What's up, Vic?
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
Good. How are you?
Good, good, good. Yeah, I agree with you on quarterback because they're most likely to head year next year because of that schedule. So, but if he shows promise, during the year next year, even if they go 4-15 or whatever the schedule is these days, we still have, you'll still have a good pick next year for one of your other, key players that you want to draft.
Yeah, I mean,
lineman or a.
Yeah, I mean, and thank you for the call. Your line was a little choppy there. Obviously, look, nobody wants to be back at the top of the draft next year. That's not ideal. I know the schedule sucks. Even if they draft a young quarterback, I'm not looking forward to picking somewhere between 1 and 5 next year. Right? And I certainly don't think Shane and Dable are, and I know the owner isn't. So, I mean, that's not the goal, certainly. It's not, let's just, lose one more year, too, and then get him that shutdown corner or get the edge rusher then. Or like, no. I want the quarterback come in, and I want him to play well relatively, and I want them to win on some level. I don't expect them to go to the NFC Championship game. That's rare. And the roster probably isn't good enough, but who knows? I would have told you the same thing about Washington this year. I would have never have thought Washington would have been good enough to get to the NFC Championship game, even with Jaden Daniels. But it changes things. But yeah, next year, if you're at the top of the draft, fine. I mean, I would think if they're at the top of the draft, it's a new regime, which again, I don't care. I'm a Giants fan, not a Brian Daboll or Joe Shane fan. But I'd like to give them a chance to develop the quarterback. But whatever the case, if they're at the top of the draft next year, you do what's best for the franchise. And whoever's the head coach and whoever the GM is, they have a question to ask themselves. As in my view, and it's just my view, you could have a different view. In my view, at the beginning of every year, the first question you should ask yourself is, do we have a quarterback? Plain and simple. Plain and simple. And if they have a miserable year next year, if they draft Shedeur Sanders and they have a miserable year next year because the schedule is impossible and they got to play the Kansas City Chiefs at home and everybody else at home, it's going to be, it's another 2, 3, 4 win season. heading into the draft, whoever the head coach and GM are, and it probably won't be Shannon Dable, they have to ask themselves, do we have a quarterback? And if they come up with an answer of no, then they should draft a quarterback at the top of the draft next year. That's what they should. Until you find a quarterback, find him. That's it. Everything else is secondary. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Quick break. We'll come back. Still take your phone calls on the football. We opened up with the Mets early to start the show. We could always do Mets and Pete Alonso. As rumors are circulating that they are, well, Boomer Esiason has tweeted that he is looking forward to the possibility of today being Pete Alonso Day, which sounds fun. And also Dylan Cease and Michael King, two excellent top-of-the-rotation type starting pitchers available in San Diego for trade, and it sounds like the Mets are in contact, at least on Dylan Cease. That's exactly what they should do. Giants draft a quarterback. Mets get a top-of-the-rotation pitcher for your rotation. Bring in Pete Alonso. Go compete with the Dodgers.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:32. McMonagle here with you. I'm a half hour away from Martini Friday. Well, I mean, I won't be having the martini in a half hour, but it will be Martini Friday for me. Whoop, whoop. Although, I'm not going to get any sleep because my son will be home from school as he has been battling a fever for the last 2 days. So I'll be up with him all day long. So it might actually ruin Martini Friday because I'm probably going to pass out as soon as my wife gets home from work. But I mean, everyone, it is going around, man. Everyone is sick. I mean, I walked in, whatever, 2 days ago because Marco hasn't been in. He looked like death. I was like, Marco, good grief, you okay? The sunken eyes, the whole bit. I was like, man. Everybody is sick. All the kids at school, everybody. It's crazy. It's that time of year. We need to move on. We need to get past. We're 2 weeks away from baseball. 2 weeks away from spring training. And it's tons of games on both the Yankees, on YES Network and SNY starting in, I think it's the 22nd, our first televised Met game, and the 27th or 23rd, something like that. I got to look it up. But, I mean, we're not that far away. We're less than a month away from televised baseball live from Port St. Lucie, live from Tampa. Cannot wait. And the Yankees need to make a move. And the one thing I'll say about the Yankees real quick that I just want to push back a little bit because people get very mad about my take on Luis Arraez. And not so much that I don't want him. I guess some people can understand that because it's not that I don't want him. I don't think he's their best option. And I know people think, oh, my God, he would set the lineup off, you know, at the top of the order. I get it. He's a three-time batting champion, right? Three-time batting champion, gets on base, puts the ball in play, never strikes out. He would make them a horrendous defensive infield. Horrendous. He's awful. And honestly, I'm sorry, as you can tell with my quarterback conversation, I'm kind of a new age sports guy a little bit. In some ways, I'm old school. In many ways, I'm new aged. And I do believe that batting average is overrated slightly. I'm not saying it's worthless. It's clearly not worthless. But it's a little overrated. And so for all of you who can't understand why I don't want Luis Rise necessarily, I would take him over DJ LeMahieu. Don't get me wrong. They made the move. In fact, I wish they would make the move right now. Actually, no, save it for Monday at this point. You had your time, Yankees, to make the move. Now wait until Monday. I'm busy. But if they make that move, I will dance through the streets. They got Luis Arraez. He's better than the current option they have of DJ LeMahieu and Oswaldo Cabrera. But for all you people who think he's the clear-cut best option, oh, my God, how could you call him underrated? He won 3 straight batting titles. He is number 83. He's the 83rd best player in Major League Baseball. Right now, I don't know if it's true, it's subjective, but that's Major League MLB Network. That's computer systems. That's actual thought from real former baseball players. That's right, the 3-time defending batting champion in the American League, twice in the National League, is the 83rd best player in Major League Baseball. The 83rd. You know why? Because he doesn't do anything else. And I'm not saying that that's not what he does isn't impressive. But typically, a punch and Judy hitter who doesn't slug at all and all he does is hit for average typically comes with speed, athleticism, and defense. That's usually the package. You might get the Pete Alonzos who hit a lot of home runs and slug and drive in runs and, you know, lead the league in homers. They don't come with defense and speed and athleticism. That's how it works typically. You really don't want your leadoff hitter, your singles hitter, to not be able to get from first to third and to be a horrendous defensive player. It's not what you're looking for. Those tool sets don't go together. So before you call me crazy, again, and how could you, he's a 3-time batting champion. How could you call him overrated? The 83rd ranked best player in Major League Baseball. Do you want to see some of the names who are ahead of him? You probably don't even know him. But again, I hope they trade for him tomorrow. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Judge in Secaucus. What's up, Judge?
Hey, Jude, what's up, Jude, man? My name is Jude, no problem.
You know what? That is I could have said, hey, Jude, too. I'm losing it. I could have sworn that said Judge. Maybe I have Judge on the brain with talking Yankees. I could have sworn it said Judge, Jude. I'm sorry.
Always talking Yankees. So what do you think the Giants are going to do with this pick? You think they're going to go quarterback? What's your feeling?
Yes, I think they're going to go quarterback. Yes, I do. I've been saying it for the last half hour. Yeah, I know. I know people don't listen every second. It's silly of me, but it was just I just yelled about it 2 seconds ago. That's why. No, but yes, I think they should. I think they will. I think everybody expects it. I think they're kind of telegraphing it at this point on both sides. Shedeur Sanders is doing everything but telling you he's going to be a Giant with cleats. And I played a clip before of his interview on the sideline of this game, the bowl game here. And he was talking about playing in Jerry's world and, you know, playing in that building against the Cowboys. It was just, I mean, theoretically, you know, every team in football could eventually go to Dallas. But it sounds like he expects to be there on a yearly basis. He's got the Giants cleats and they don't shut up about each other. So it feels like that's the direction they're going to go. And me, for one, I'm super excited about it. I don't know what kind of player he's going to be. We're going to find out. But I know one thing. Judge Jude. I know one thing, that I will be rooting for victories the entire season, that I will be rooting for the Giants to play well the entire season, that I will be pulling for the Giants to score touchdowns, that I will be rooting for my New York football Giants the entire year. And you want to talk about low bars? You can't get lower. I am literally hoping. I am literally thankful if they draft a quarterback. I will be thankful that the most basic element of being a sports fan will still be on the table. That's how low they have sunk. I'm not talking about winning games. I'm not talking about making the playoffs. I'm not talking about competing for a championship. I am literally talking about I'm looking forward to next year where I can do the basic thing that most fans and really is the basic form of what fandom is. I just want to be able to root for them. I want to be able to turn on the television 1 o'clock on a Sunday in December and feel like it's in the best interest of the team to do well. I want that. I want that. I want to turn on the TV and I want to feel like, hey, I hope the Giants play well today. You can't get lower. That's where they are as a franchise. It's where they are. This is why the Saquon Barkley thing makes me laugh. It honestly makes me laugh. It makes me laugh that Tom Brady is making giant mistake puns. I mean, the guy had a roast. Maybe he could learn something. Giant, what a giant mistake. Hilarious, Tom. You come up all day to think of that one? They're still doing it in the NFC Championship game. And I find it funny. And I find it funny, all the fans who are upset by it and embarrassed by it and think this is like the low point of somehow watching the Eagles win and go to the Super Bowl with Saquon Barkley is somehow the low point of the franchise. And I'm telling you, all I want to do is watch them and feel like I want them to win. I want to turn on the game and hope they play well because I'm sick of turning on the game in December and hope they don't play well. Because it's in their best interest. And I am a fan, clear cut. I want what's in the best interest of the team. Right? And I think that's almost as more simplistic than other people's view of I want them to win the game. I almost feel like I have a more simplistic, basic, fundamental feeling about fandom. I want what's best for them. I'm almost like a parent and they are my child. I want what's best. Sometimes losing is what's best. Hold on. I think I just came up with the freaking greatest analogy for tanking in the history of analogies or tanking. The Giants are like my child. How did I never think of this before? This is good. If you're listening, hold on. Make sure you listen to this. If you heard nothing else I said all morning, and believe me, I'm a lot like Francesa, apparently, so I probably said it a bunch. But if you go back and listen through the show, the one thing right here, I'm going to explain tanking to you like you've never been explained it before. The Giants are like my child. And I want what's best for my child. And if you're a parent, I think you'll understand this. Sometimes your child needs to lose. Sometimes it's in your child's best interest to lose, to deal with losing, to learn how to lose, to learn how to win through losing, to make mistakes. I want what's best for my child. And for years, I've been forced to feel that way, where losing was best for them, that they needed that, that to move forward, the loss would benefit them more than the win. I'm tired of that. I just want to be the a-hole parent who shows up and hopes he kicks the tar out of everybody else on the field. I want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy consoling my son, teaching him that this is a learning moment. I don't want that anymore. I want to be the jerk who's screaming on the sidelines, who nobody can stand, and the coach rolls his eye every time he gets a sight of me. That's who I want to be. And that's the low bar that the Giants have set for me. So that's why I laugh when we get upset about Saquon Barkley scoring touchdowns for the Eagles. Because nothing can hurt me. The Giants do it all by themselves.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today. We'll be right back.
All right, 4:48. Last couple minutes before we get to 5 o'clock and the warm-up show, 888-808-1019. I do just want to, Fliegelman just, you know, said something to me, so I'll bring it back up. I was getting on Luis Arraez. I was getting on people who were yelling at me for calling him overrated and using the MLB as the, he's the 83rd best player in baseball this year. And he's like, I don't know if you, that's as good an argument as you think. And I'm like, okay, well, let me just think. To be the fifth best hitter, the final piece for $14 million or so to be on the New York Yankees, sure. And I said I would do it. To have the 83rd best player be that guy for you, okay. That's probably a good player. But my point is, name another three-time batting champion who would be ranked as low as 83. Do you think Wade Boggs was the 83rd best baseball player in Major League Baseball? Was Tony Gwynn? Was Joe Mauer? Name another three-time. Maybe I'm missing one. Let me know. Name another three, and he's off the... It's not like now it's 5 years removed from three batting titles. He's just won three consecutive batting titles. Name another player who entered the year as a two-time, let alone three-time, two-time, defending, batting league champion, batting average champion, who would be ranked as low as 83. Wade Boggs played a hell of a third base. Joe Mara was a catcher. Tony Gwynn played defense. Like, I'm just saying. So when I say he's overrated, I kind of mean, we talk about him like he's a three-time batting champion. Bernadette in Oceanside. Hey, Bernadette.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm going to take just a rough stab because I have really no clue who would have been the third person, you know, win three batting titles in a row. I'm going to say Reggie Jackson, possibly.
To win three batting titles?
Yeah.
No. Nope. Home run titles.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if he ever led the league. Did Reggie Jackson ever lead the league in hitting? I doubt he ever did.
What about Albert Bell?
I mean, but again, one, you're talking about tremendous players. I mean, Reggie Jackson's a Hall of Famer, and Albert Bell should be a Hall of Famer. He's kept out for no reason whatsoever. But
nobody liked him. That's why.
Yeah, I know. But I'm saying even him, I don't think he might have won a batting title. Maybe Reggie Jackson. Yeah, and I mean I knew it, but I was just double checking. No, he never won a batting title. And thank you for the call, Brent. Again, your phone was a little choppy too. I apologize. No, I mean, but Reggie Jackson, talking about a Hall of Famer. Albert Bell should be in the Hall of Fame. Reggie Jackson hit 300 once in 1980. Reggie Jackson for the New York Yankees hit 300. That's it. 293, 289. But he is a career 262 hitter. I'm just saying, I'm not trying to knock him necessarily. I'm just saying I get so much anger whenever I say he's overrated and people scream, how can you overrated? You know, he's a three-time batting champion. Name me another three-time batting champion that would be viewed as the 80th best player in Major League Baseball. They don't exist because those guys also did, usually if you're going to hit singles all over the place, you had other skills that go with that skill set. It's the big lumbering, you know, power hitter that didn't do much else. Sometimes, you know, the Dave Kingmans, you know, or even though I'm not even sure how good of an outfielder Dave King or defensive player Dave Kingman was before my time. But, you know, one of those guys, the beginnings of the all or nothing strikeout hit home runs guys. You know, Jim Thome. Those type of guys where it's like, oh, okay, all you had, you know, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa. You don't typically get average hitters who can't run, can't field. Very rare. But I suppose it happens. And as I'm watching again, Shedeur Sanders and again, Fliegelman said something to me. At what point, like, he's got the picture of the cleats. He's having a catch with Malik Nabers. Joe Shane won't shut up about him. Now he's doing an interview where he's, you know, he's not saying I'm going to be a Giant, but he's, you know, indicating he's going to be playing in this building a lot. And there's only one team that would be plausible for that. I mean, is there any grounds? I mean, you're hearing now that there are reports, again, who knows, it's reports. Reports that he doesn't want to play for Cleveland. I mean, is there a case for sort of, you know, tampering here? I wonder, like, how, what the rules have to be. Like, again, it's just a draft prospect. I don't know if he isn't controlled by anybody, owned by anybody. Is that, would that still be tampering? Since you suggested it, talk it through with me for 2 minutes. Okay, John's got an idea. Batting champion who wasn't great, John in Poughkeepsie.
Hey, Chris, how you doing? Bill Madlock from the Pittsburgh Pirates, late 70s, early 80s, was a very good hitter, was not even the third best player on his team. That, you know, with Dave Parker, the Big Cobra, and Willie Stargell.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know if he certainly not being top 50 at the time that he played. Just a, you know, all-around good hitter, but, you know, and defensively he was kind of lackluster, but it didn't help playing, you know, when Mike Schmidt was you know, the best third baseman in the National League.
Right. Just looking at, I mean, his numbers, he won 1, 2, 3, 4 batting titles, two in a row in 75 and 76. He also slugged 500. I mean, you know, he was a far better, he's a far better player than Arise. I mean, 881 OPS, 912 OPS. In 1981, 907 OPS. Like, so, I mean, yeah, I hear what you're saying. I don't know where he would rank. I don't know the where I'd have to go, but it, I guess it's as good as an option as any. I mean, DJ LeMahieu has won 2 batting titles, but again, DJ LeMahieu was a better player in his prime, was a top 3 MVP finisher. And also, name me another three-time batting champion who is going to be on 4 teams in 3 years. I understand the circumstances of it. Minnesota traded him. Okay. He goes to Miami. Miami looks to get rid of anybody. Now San Diego's owner died, and they're looking to cut payroll. So you can make excuses why, but again, 3-time batting champion, 83rd best player, nobody wants to keep him. Before you scream at me for suggesting maybe there's better options for the New York Yankees, or that it's not a slam dunk, bring him here no matter what it takes. You get it done, Cash! You've done nothing for a month. I know I'm crazy. I think I'd rather have Nolan Arenado. I just think I would. He makes the infield defense elite. I still think there's something there. He provides a little bit of pop. He doesn't. Luis Arraez answers the question of leadoff hitter. No doubt. No doubt. And that's a. They're talking about putting, you know, Dominguez there. Or Volpe, who's been unsuccessful there. So they don't have a leadoff hitter. Not even a prototypical leadoff hitter with speed and stolen base. Like, they don't have a leadoff hitter to get on base in front of Judge. He would solve that instantly. Agreed. But this team has pivoted. I was just reading an article. Brian Cashman, you know, was answering some questions for ESPN. They pivoted to pitching and defense. Like, that's kind of how they pivoted. Like, they're, even with Arise, the offense becomes a lot better. But it's still, you know, they didn't go out and get, they got out Bellinger, who hopefully can be a 25 to 30 home run player here at Yankee Stadium and thrive and get back to closer the MVP years, God willing, or even just 2 years ago, he was really good. And maybe, you know, Goldschmidt has that bounce back year, but they didn't really go get great. They got good defensive players. They got more better all around players, at least more of them. And they pivoted to best closer in the sport. One of the better starting pitchers with the best ERA since 2020. Like, they went to pitching and defense as their best features. And I would just hate for the expense of a leadoff hitter to completely derail the defensive infield because he's that bad. We complain about Gleyber Torres bad defensively. Gleyber Torres would make the occasional bad play. He can't play the position. He's terrible at it. Gleyber Torres could still make good plays. He just every once in a while would have his head up as you know what and drop pop-ups. But he could range. He could make throws. He could make plays. This guy doesn't have the skill set to be a good defensive player. And I want that good defensive infield. All right, that's it for me. God knows it was enough, wasn't it? I'll catch you Monday, 2 a.m. Everybody have a great weekend. Go do something, right? Get out of that. Hopefully it's nice. Go do something. Get out. No football. Take your wife out on a date. Do something. Enjoy it. The warm-up show is next. Fliegelman, thank you very much for all the help all week long. I'll see you Tuesday. You can enjoy the weekend as well. I'm going to go home and take care of a sick kid. But it is Friday. Everybody have a great day. The warm-up show is next. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.